Text for this evening's meditation is from Mark chapter 14, these words, "And the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him." So our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we've grown up in the church, grown up observing the season of Lent throughout our lives. It just can be that as we hear the readings from the Gospels, four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, about the passion of Christ, about his suffering, we forget, we overlook, or simply cease to note the details. Details of those last few days before the crucifixion of Jesus. Now, text for this evening, it provides an example for us. There it's noted that the intention of the chief priests and the scribes was to kill Jesus. To kill Jesus. That was their intention, to kill him. Who were these scribes? Well, as far as we know, they were somewhat like the people who work in the county courthouse. It was the scribes who were the ones who drafted legal documents dealing with marriage and divorce, loans, inheritance, mortgages, sale of land, and so forth. Nowadays, of course, laws governing such things are determined by a state government, and then they're administered by the county at the courthouse. In Jesus' day, laws governing such things were determined by the tradition. The tradition thought to have been handed down from Moses, but certainly based on the law of Moses. It was, after all, the law of Moses and the tradition developed around the law of Moses, which was the heart of Jewish life at the time. And that law so often was administered, not at a county courthouse, of course, but at the temple in Jerusalem. In that Jesus, the teaching of Jesus' miracles and signs was seen to threaten the law of Moses and the tradition developed around it, and the money that was made by the scribes in administering it, and Jesus had to go. Think here of what Jesus did about the money changers right there in the temple. Jesus definitely was a threat. Threat to the status quo. And Jesus was such a threat to the status quo that Jesus had to die. And not just die eventually sometime in the future. Jesus had to be killed. Not traditionally. People have become upset about that. Upset that there were those at the time who wanted Jesus out of the way. Gone. Dead. But here, we today have to do a little soul-searching ourselves. For in our second reading tonight from 1 John, we heard that anyone who hates his brother, just hates his brother, is a murderer. Anyone who hates his brother is a murderer. Why? Well, when we hate someone, what do we want but the person whom we hate to be out of the way? Gone. Dead. In short, our hatred makes us murderers. And then there was this passage from that same reading from 1 John. Whoever does not love abides in death. Now, how are we to understand that? How are we to understand that? That whoever does not love abides, that means remains or stays in death. Here, I think Charles Darwin could be mentioned. And the idea of the survival of the fittest, the competition between living beings in which one kills or is killed. Oddly enough, it was not Darwin who came up with that phrase, survival of the fittest, but a guy who read Darwin's book on the origin of species, a guy by the name of Herbert Spencer. Be that as it may, it is associated with Darwin. And we all know what it means, don't we? The strong survive, the weak do not. And such a thought really is a thought of death, isn't it? Of remaining in death and functioning in it. And even using it to our advantage in the world. Speaking with someone last week about the pandemic we now find ourselves in, I was somewhat surprised that he was taking it lightly. Why? Well, his point was that most people won't die. And the young certainly aren't endangered. At least so we thought last week. So then the point was, the pandemic was striking only the weak, that is, the sick, the elderly. Survival of the fittest, living in death, a culture of death. And who cares about those who die as long as we live? Darwin, or at least Spencer, at his finest. Well, then, I suggested we would be looking at the situation much differently if it were some new strain of smallpox or some other disease that would strike the young and the strong in equal proportion. And that being so, why? Why would it matter then? Well, the young, the strong, they're desirable. Our potential are of high value to us personally. The elderly, the weak, nothing to us. Or so it was asserted. So you see, we can easily find ourselves thinking in such a way about death. That is, thinking not that it should be avoided, thinking not that it should not be accomplished, even at our own hands. Thinking not that it's something prohibited by God, and instead seeing death as, well, just another way that we can get ahead in the world, no matter how it happens. Now, why do we think this way? Why do we think this way? Well, it is because a part of each and every one of us, even as Christians, still remains in death. And it remains in death because it remains in sin. Here I'm talking about the old man. The body of death is what the Apostle Paul calls it in Romans 7, as in, who will free me from this body of death? Romans 7. Now there Paul is talking about the fact that the old man continues to torment and trouble the Christian throughout our lives, even though the new man has been created within us. The new man who appeared when we were washed and regenerated and renewed when we were baptized into our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There, by the power of the Holy Spirit through faith, we put on Christ. That is, we took Christ into ourselves. The righteousness of Christ being attributed to us by our Father in heaven, so that even though we still had a part of us, the old man who lived in this world of death, the new man would come into existence, who lived in a world of life. So the Apostle John could say about all those who believe in Christ, this is what he said, we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. And then he continues, whoever does not love abides, that means remains, in death. In other words, in Christ, through faith in Christ, our sins forgiven daily. Through faith in him, we don't look at death as a means to an end, as something that can occur or can be used for our advantage, but we can instead simply love. We can love those around us, trying as hard as we can not to hurt or harm them, but support and defend them in every bodily need. Such a love does no harm. Does no harm to our neighbor. Therefore, love, oddly enough, is the fulfilling of the law those chief priests, those scribes, thought was their bread and butter as they worked in the temple. So had to be protected by killing Jesus. So here's a thought. How is it that we can love if the object of our love we no longer wish to exist? How can we love if the object of our love we no longer wish to exist? For once our neighbor dies, who is it that we can love? Love cannot, after all, exist in a vacuum. Love needs an object to love. So the Holy Spirit is poured out into the hearts of all those who believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior from sin and so from death, so that they need not live the life of their old man, but can live the life of their new man. And they can love. So let's realize when within us a death and life scenario is playing itself out. A hatred and love battle is taking place, because that's what's happening when our old man and our new man, they go at it within us. Let's just realize that this is so. The old man would that we live in hatred and in death, seeing the latter as simply as an opportunity in the world, and the new man would love and seek to promote and preserve and protect life, because that is what love does. So the wondrous instance of Jesus, Son of God, who in love allows hate to end in his death, so that he can conquer death and hate by first dying and then rising to life again, that is to love. You know, our sins have been taken into that death of Jesus, and they're left there with Jesus, with the death of Jesus on the cross. And in our new life in Christ, his Spirit sent into our hearts through his word, and we then live, truly live a new life in love. Again, apart from this love, flows from our life in Christ who lives now, even though he died. Apart from this life of love, we can do nothing but live in death and hate. Nothing. Apart from that love, that's where we're going to live, in death and hate. Sure, it's not always apparent that this is so, but it is so. Let's acknowledge it. Confess it daily and turn in faith to life. Turn in faith to love. Turn in faith to Christ. Amen. Now may the peace which passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. We continue with our canticle.